Hey everybody, welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show. I am live today. I'm so excited to be here with you. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And if it is your first time in the chat, welcome. And if you're not sure how to get to the chat, go to 12radio.com. You'll see on the left-hand side a chat button and just be very kind. I'm sure bribery works as well for Jay. Thank you for producing. He'll let you in. So I'm super excited to be here. And I just want to make a note, a shout out for all of you as far as it's been 5 years. Yeah, something like that. It's 3 years. Anyways, it's been a while since I've been live on radio on my show. I've been on a couple of other radio shows, but not live here. So, anyways, I'm a little giddy, a little nervous even. And I want to make a note about the music that you hear for my intro and outro. It actually is my son-in-law, my new son-in-law, Talbot. He produced that music himself. He strummed it on his guitar. So I had to use it. It's from several years ago, but I had to use it. And yes, if you listened to my show last week with Oliver, thank you. And of course, we, hemmed and hawed and hooped it up and all that crazy stuff that we do. And you may have heard some other shows where I talk about my daughter and her now husband eloping when they moved out to Reno, Nevada, which is where I'm residing. And I have a few announcements that I'll make as we go into the show. But please comment if you want a quick hit intuitive reading, then put your question comment in the chat at 12 Radio on Facebook. And I'll look at it as soon as I can. I'm going to be multitasking a little bit as I have notes for the show, of course, so that I don't ramble, which I probably will ramble a little bit, and also trying to keep up with your comments in the chat room. So, you guys can find me over at 12listen.com. It is lots of love over there. So if you ever want a reading from me, I love time-based sessions. I also highly encourage scheduling time with me as well, because it does allow us to pick a time and day that works best for both of us, because my calendar does get full. As you know, many of you who follow me for so long, you know that I'm also a staff director for Nine Gates Mystery School. And so that takes me out of my office 2 weeks at a time, a couple times a year. And so that's why scheduling appointments are really important as well. Also, your new Dawn Scopes. So my name is Jamie. My official legal name, my last name is Dawn, even though that was my birth middle name. So anyways, I'm letting you know. I call them the new Dawn Scopes. My name is Jamie. So anyways, it's a new day, it's a new dawn, right? But they're posted at 12listen. And also, I offer a light and shadow report for the month, and that is on my website, jamiedawn.com. And I also offer a YouTube channel where I give you celestial wisdom, which is energetic updates for the week using astrology as well as my own intuition. And I started pulling a card for the week. So I thought that before I jump into the show itself, so we're going to talk today about loving kindness. We're going to talk about what's happening in my life. We're going to talk about Aquarian energy. And, here we are officially with Pluto and Aquarius. That's the big talk of the town. I'm going to give you the last four houses, if you will, where Pluto is transiting. So the first two shows, if you miss them, they are archived. So you can go back into 12 Radio and find the archive of my first two shows where I'm giving you where Pluto is transiting through the houses. And Oliver helped me with the first one, or excuse me, the second one. And one other quick note, my daughter, Tatiana, who is a licensed, well, she's becoming licensed as a therapist. She'll be licensed next year when she gets all of her hours. She's a resident therapist. She is my guest next week, and we're going to be talking about all things love and Valentine's Day. And I think we wander off the pasture a little bit and talk about some self-care. Maybe we talk, I'm trying to remember. We've already recorded the show last week. So, but I can tell you, it's very entertaining. And my daughter is, she's got six planets in Sagittarius, and but she has a Capricorn moon. So she's got that wise woman kind of feel to her, which is fun. She's 30, by the way. She doesn't care that I tell you her age, because I'm going to tell you mine when this year, when my birthday happens this year. because it's a milestone birthday. Anyways, just numbers. So, as I continue to ramble, I do like to start my show. If you have been watching, listening, playing with me, that I like to get us into our heart space. And so I'm going to do this by doing what I call resonation. And if you're not familiar with it, it's where we bring our vibration into a coherent field so that we can tune in to each other and we can cultivate an energy field of like-heartedness, not like-minded, but like-hearted. Because we know, especially with all the work that HeartMath Institute has done, how the heart is the organ of perception, and that we can extend our energies and our field way beyond just the inside of us, So 6 feet all around. I mean, if you've ever walked into a room or been around somebody who's really in that heart energy, you're transformed immediately. You just feel at peace. You feel maybe unsettled if you're in that third chakra where you're really egoic, and you're just having one of those days and you're just like, ah. And then you meet somebody in that heart center and you're just like, okay, let's do this. So, I'm going to invite you, if you're not driving and or doing something that would cause you harm, to close your eyes, to join me in closing your eyes. And in doing so, it helps to still the mind and bring the mind into quietness. And it's in this place that we just notice the breath of the body, and we allow it to circulate with intention, because we know that also that where attention goes, energy flows. So allowing the breath to just be natural and flow through the body, offering stillness for just a moment, and then coming to rest in the heart, the place where love and compassion and all things of love, lover, beloved, devotion reside. Feeling that peacefulness and that calm, the loving kindness. As you listen to an excerpt from a book called How to Love by Thich Nhat Hanh and Jason DeSantos, I'm sorry, DeAntos. Loving kindness, the first element of true love is loving kindness. The essence of loving kindness is being able to offer happiness. You can be the sunshine for another person. You can't offer happiness until you have it for yourself. So build a home inside by accepting yourself and learning to love and heal yourself. Learn how to practice mindfulness in such a way that you can create moments of happiness and joy for your own nourishment. Then you have something to offer the other person. And with intention and attention, one breath in through the heart and out through the heart. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. And as I'm here, let me just also say hello. I'm going to, like I say, multitask to those of you in the chat room. Quelly's here, and Patricia, and Jenny, and Pamela. And I'm going to have to keep refreshing to make sure that I get all the comments. It's just the way Facebook is being. So if I miss you, I'm sorry for that. Renee's here. Welcome, Raven. Hello, hello. You guys know that Jay and Raven have great shows here on 1-2 Radio and so many others. I really hope you're enjoying them. One of the things that I love so much about being a part of this group, again, it's not about being like-minded, thinking the same, but it's about being like-hearted. And I believe that each host and each advisor at 1-2 Listen truly wants to change the world, starting with themselves, but also one at a time with you. So just know you're held, you're loved, and supported, however we can. So, a couple of things. I was thinking before the show that maybe I should give you the Pluto by the houses. We're going to go 9 through 12 at the beginning, because I do have a lot of things to offer today, a lot of information. But before I do that, I'm kind of flip-flopping. I've got notes, but I'm playing it by ear too. And feeling into this energy field, I want to give you a little bit of what's happening in my life so you get to know me a little bit more. I know that very often, if you're on the receiving end of sitting in session with me or on social media, which God bless Joan, my assistant, who is so amazing. She posts in my social media for me, just about everything that has to do with, business stuff. Every once in a while, I'll post something personal in there, but I'm not a big social media person just because it doesn't feel like I'm really connecting or genuine. I just know that I want to make sure that I get some good information out there to you guys, But today, I'm going to share with you a little bit about me and my own personal things. And those of you who do follow me, whether it's through YouTube or When to Listen, When to Radio here, if you've known me for quite some time, like some of you have, I'm a huge 49er fan. Yes, I am. And whether you like them or not is inconsequential. It doesn't change my love for my Niners. And we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm so excited. But I will say this, the last two games have been quite disturbing. And my partner and I have been watching them, of course, very religiously. We don't miss a game. And they better play better in the Super Bowl than they have the last couple games. So we're very talented. I'm hoping that we get there. I've loved the 49ers since I was a kid. My brother and I would watch Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, some of the two great legends, play. And so after that, it was just hooked. Plus, when I was 8 years old, this is all part of my intuitive nature. When I was 8 years old, I was in third grade and I had to do a project representing the 50 states. And so I drew all of the 50 states, their individual state flags. And I remember I loved bears and I grew up, collecting teddy bears and things like that. And when I saw California's state flag, it has a bear on it. I looked at my mom, and also of course, Florida, because it's one of the 50 states, duh. Anyways, I remember looking at my mom and I said, I'm going to live in Florida and California one day. And she goes, sure. Okay, that's cute. So when I was 18, I moved to Florida. Lived there almost a year before I got pregnant. Yep, that was me. I worked at Disney World. And yeah, and then I ended up having to move back home because of other circumstances that arose during that time. Actually, I'll share this. Why not? This is, in this Aquarian energy, it's all about being authentic. We're really working towards that and being our true selves. And yeah, I got knocked up. Great. And as I tell Tatiana, she's the best oops that ever happened to me. And she's definitely not a mistake. But anyways, her father, he was 21, I was 18, and we were kids, didn't know what we were doing. We were scared out of our minds. He comes from a Jewish background. I came from a very Christian background. And he resided in Virginia at the time. He was in Florida, but his family, obviously, Virginia. And so, anyways, and I'm from South Carolina. That's where my family is. And when found out I was pregnant, he had a trip planned to go back to Virginia and decided he wanted to wait to tell his family about my pregnancy. And I had already decided I was keeping the baby because, one, I can't imagine for me, that was me personally, I couldn't imagine not having her. And secondly, the religious aspect was still very heavy influential, and abortion was not even an option, at least in that belief system, So he went back to Virginia, told his family, and his family basically said, you either marry her or you come back home and go back to college. And so after that conversation, I'm in Florida still. He's still in Virginia with his family. And I pressured him into making a decision, more or less, at that time. And he basically said, I'm going to go back to Virginia and go to school. And I said, okay. So I hung up with him, basically broke up with him. And my mother called her, and it was like midnight. And I said, I need to come home. And I'd already told my parents that I was pregnant. So, anyways, my mom was there the next morning. It was a good 8, 10 hour drive. She had gotten in the car that night and drove all night to come get me. And, still puts tears in my eyes when I think about it, that sacrifice of my mom and the way she loved me. So anyway, so I ended up back in South Carolina for 5 years. This is a long story, I know. And this has nothing to do with astrology and energy, but here you go. And so I ended up back in South Carolina. And you fast forward to 2019. I mean, the short in between version of all that is I did end up marrying the father, and we ended up, he came back around, and we ended up having a second child, which those of you who follow me know my son just had my first grandchild. And I lived in Virginia for many years, 16 years. And then in 2019, I moved out west. And you could say I lived in California because I subleased a place for 6 months in Sebastopol, California. And that happened right after a trip to Egypt. Oh, what a great trip. Anyways, and so I fulfilled my knowing. It took years for that, 18, well, 10 years to get to Florida because I was 18, and then another 20 some years to get to California. And you know what? Those of you who know me know that when I found Reno, I fell in love, and my place that I live in, I had a vision of it a few weeks before I ever saw it. And as soon as I saw it, I just said, "This is it. This is my place." So, anyways, I say all that because I know many of us struggle with trusting our intuition, trusting others who give us intuitive information, because we get so consternated around time, and we get so worked up over, is this actually going to manifest? It's taking so long. And one of the things about time and space is that time is a, to me, a man-made construct. It's a construct, a state that we work with and that we can stretch and we can bend and we can expand on, or we can collapse it, right? And so if we can let go of the timing piece of it and come fall into that place of trusting ourselves, trusting that intuitive nature within us, and realizing that it's a journey, it's the process. Could I have made other choices? Absolutely, but I didn't. So I'm not going to live with regret. What I will say is, I knew when I was 8 years old that I was going to live in Florida and California. And it had taken me 40 some years to do both, but I got there, So I just want to encourage you right now, because I know these energies are a little discouraging. I have to tell you, there's a real scarcity mentality that's going on around here, at least in my world, the people I talk to. And so it's hard to have that hope and that faith of like, but what the reality is showing me right now does not line up with the intuitive part. So I'm going to offer, please take time and put it into its own place, which is really a flow, just like life. It just flows. Time is just going to keep ticking. And we can either flow with it, or we can punch ourselves about it, punch the, this energetic time thing, and, lose our peace. So what I'll offer is, in this next couple weeks and months, let there be a mantra. Mantra means protector of the mind. Something like, I'm always in the right place at the right time with the right people. It could be that simple. But allow yourself to believe, allow yourself to trust that we're always in the right place, the right time with the right people, and we're going to seize those opportunities. So, what's also happening for me? I love to ski. And I didn't start skiing until 3 seasons ago. So I'm going to be 50 this year. Oh, yeah, 5-0. And I didn't start skiing until I was 47. And so my first lesson, and it was pretty hysterical, actually. But it's also where I met my partner, who I adore. And he's a Scorpio man. Absolutely amazing. And anyways, every chance on the weekends, if the resort is open, because I'm only 20 minutes from the base of the resort, then we go up and we ski on the weekends. But just so you guys know, if you need me, I'll make myself available. Just ask, All right. So those are some things happening for me. So you get to know me a little bit more. Obviously, I like to talk, and I just love being with you. So, I am going to take a commercial break at 25 after the hour here. So I'll give Jay a little heads up there, and you guys. There's a little bit of time, about 6 minutes or so, before we go on break. So enough time for me to at least prompt the conversation, if you will, around things like what's happening. But let me also, like I say, check the chat to see if any of you are asking any questions or having any comments here. Okay. I see one hit here. Birthday last week. Happy birthday, darling. And the biggest thing that I see for you is that you are about to step into a new era of self-transformation, but also I feel as though this has a lot to do with work and the type of work that you're doing, that you're ready to take it to another level, and that there's going to be an opportunity that shows up for you around the March, April time that may have not, it may have felt like it passed you by in the past. It's going to come back around for you to revisit. And it's going to be even better because it'll be new work and that challenges you, but it's also right up your alley. And I do feel as though you'll like the people you're working with and for. So that's going to make your everyday life feel really good, and it gives you a little boost in your pay. So I feel like that this next couple of months for you is really a focus on your purpose and what you do and how you express that beautiful, unique self. And don't ever let anybody make you feel silly or guilty or whatever for doing things the way you do them. You have an ability to think out of the box and do things, really different. And that's what shakes things up. It's like, let's the practical traditional stuff is okay, but how can we innovate it and do it differently? And I think that's going to be the big thing for you. Thank you for the question. All right. So let me set us up before we go to break on some things that we're going to be working with. Right now, we've got a lot of Aquarian energy. But before I go into the Aquarian piece, I want to talk about the glyphs and astrology for a second. And just to give you a note, if anybody is interested in astrology, or if you dabble in it, but you haven't really thought about this, maybe you have, but astrology is very intuitive, just like tarot cards and numerology and other divination tools that are out there, especially if you're working with the glyphs, the symbols. And so one of the things I want to point out is that the circle represents spirit, the crescent moon represents the mind, and then the cross represents the body or matter. And so the reason I'm bringing that up is I want you to look at your chart. If you don't have one, you can get a free one. You can reach out to me. I'm happy to get you a copy of your chart. You can go to astro.com. I mean, there's so many places you can go to get a free copy. But look at your chart and notice you've got everybody has this, the sun, the moon, the Mercury, Venus, Mars, Neptune, Pluto, Saturn, Jupiter, right? All Uranus, I think I hit every one of them now. We all have these planets, right, in our chart and these glyphs. And then we also have the glyphs of the signs, right? And so when you look at these, I want you to really think about how that sun, the circle representing the spirit, what is the spirit of the sign that my sun is in? What is the spirit of me? How I should embody what I'm here to fulfill, right? And then the crescent moon, where is my mind? What is it that I need to start training my mind in? Maybe I need to look at it from, I'll use the example of Mercury because Mercury rules the mind as well as the planet of the mind. But if you notice, it's got the circle, the spirit, with the crescent moon on top. So here comes information into the spirit, and then it has the cross of matter. So it's a beautiful glyph to be able to look at how am I taking my thoughts, filtering them through my spirit so that I can manifest them into the world. And as I keep saying, remember, our thoughts, our words create worlds. So what world are we trying to create? So I'll talk more about that after we come back from break. So in the meantime, if you haven't looked at your chart, great, that's okay. If you are interested in knowing where Pluto is transiting, look at Aquarius, the water bearer sign, and find Pluto. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But grab a beverage, have a potty break, bio break, whatever, but don't go anywhere because I'll be right back in just a minute. Welcome back, everybody, to the Jamie Dawn Show. I am live here on Monday, February 5th, and it is so, so great to sit with you and be with you. Thank you for the questions in the chat room. I answered one on air, but I'm also answering some in the chat room as well. And of course, come find me over at 1-2-Listen. I'll be there after the show. Would love to speak with you if you would like. And okay, we're going to keep going. You know, I mentioned about the glyphs and how we can really work with them and look at the symbology behind it. And as we're working with the big talk of the town with Pluto and Aquarius, and I will get to those, I promise, I want you to look at your chart. And if you don't have it, again, in front of you, let me describe it. That Pluto is the glyph, at least in the one that I use. There's two different ways you could draw it. Some of it, depending on the software, it could look like a P in the chart, the letter P, with a little tail underneath. However, the one I use has a circle, the spirit, descending into the crescent moon with the cross of matter. So it's opposite at the top from Mercury. They both have that cross at the bottom. But the thing about Pluto that I love is with this symbology is that when you're really sitting with it, you ask yourself, how does spirit, I mean, it's a perfect example of how we incarnate into this human form. Spirit descends into the mind and emotions and then creates form, our physical bodies. And what is that? That is the most perfect transformational, powerful energy, right? If you think about it, this is Pluto at its best, where it's all about transformation and change and death and rebirth. And it reminds us of the cycles and the patterns that we are constantly forming and recreating and forming and recreating. Yes, Pluto also is a planet that is often associated with the subconscious, the underworld. So if you think about it, matter is descending into this underworld to bring up stuff that we may not even be conscious of. But oftentimes when it shows up, we have to meet it. And so if we're doing our work, if we're paying attention and practicing and training our minds, and I will say this, the reason I keep saying training our minds is because Aquarius is a air sign, and the air signs are associated with the mind. And here we have especially all these planets that are going to be, because Mars and Venus are moving into Aquarius in 2 weeks, is that in the next 2 weeks, that we're going to have all this Aquarian energy with Mercury, Pluto, Mars, Venus. I mean, the sun will transit into Pisces as it does. And anyways, and we've got a new moon this Friday. I mentioned that in my celestial wisdom video. And it's also the Chinese New Year. Anyways, but we're working with the mind. And I believe that Pluto and Aquarius for the next 16 to 20 years is there to remind us and to prompt us with external, and I say external because Pluto is an outer planet, with external circumstances or situations that show up so that we can say, okay, how am I perceiving? Because we perceive it through our mind and our body, emotions, right? How am I perceiving these circumstances? What do I believe to be true? How do I process this information or this situation? And then transforming it by allowing the spirit in which I'm here to embody. So for me, I'm a Cancer sun. And so, you know, where can I find more nurturing? Where can I be more nurturing? Where can I be more supportive? Where can I be softer and allow that underbelly, if you will, to be shown and to attach myself to the right things, not the wrong things, so that I can then be of greater service to the greater good. And when we think, you know, about that statement, being of greater service to the greater good, that's very Aquarian. Aquarian nature is about humanitarian, it's about equality and fairness for everybody. So if I'm going to reinvent something, if I'm going to innovate it, if I'm going to have these breakthrough ideas, especially as Mercury and Pluto are canoodling right now, and how is that going to benefit not only me, but others, right? If I'm working with my shadow side, because Pluto will bring up the shadow. If I'm working with the shadow side and I want to integrate it, how does that, whatever shows up, serve me? How is the sadness serving me? How is the anger serving me? How is the judgmentalness serving me? Right? Is it leading me to greater compassion? Is it leading me back to self-love? Is it leading me back to being of service in a greater way to others? So that's the kind of stuff that we're going to be working with. I also mentioned I've been pulling a card for the week. In my videos, but I'm going to share here as well. The Magician was the card that I pulled, and I mean, I just randomly pull them. I have no agenda around it. And the Magician is the master manifester. So if you're not feeling as though you're manifesting something yet this week, pay attention to where your mind is going. Pay attention to what is happening for you when you're triggered by something. Because the Magician reminds us we have the tools, we have the resources and energy we need to make our dreams come true. That is the gift of this card. And so you couple that with the power of Pluto and Mercury of the mind being together, we can come back to this beautiful creative force that is within us that we have access to. Because as I mentioned, what we don't want to do is get so attached to an outcome that we collapse the field of possibilities. There's so many other possibilities that are out there. So The magician is an encouragement, and with Mercury and Pluto canoodling or conjunct, whichever I like to say canoodle because it's like they're hugging each other, they're holding hands more or less. But with these, this energy at the beginning of the week, it's here for us to be able to harness the power of our mind, to have these powerful insights and to use them, especially because the intuition is so heightened. It doesn't always have to make sense. Go for it, you know? Take a risk, take a chance. This is where we can use the rebellious nature of Aquarius for our good, where we may be thinking too much about something and it stops us from manifesting the things that we're looking to manifest. Also, one other pin on the map this week is we've got Venus trining Uranus. Well, anything goes when it comes to love and relationships, finances. We might just get something that we've been wanting for a while that just shows up out of the blue. And Venus is currently in Capricorn. So this is, and Uranus is in Taurus. So these are earthy signs. So this is something tangible that we might be able to use that gives us a greater sense of security and stability in our lives. And I can tell you that creativity wins the day. You know, I was thinking about I've got more space in my days lately than I am used to. And I have my own shadow side that I work with and my fears and insecurities. And what these fears and insecurities have done for me is it's actually stirred up more creativity. I'm getting a lot more resourceful than I've had to be in a while. So, you know, that's the gift of it. That's how I'm using it. And remember, this Venus trine Uranus happens right before the new moon. As I mentioned, that new moon is on Friday, February 9th. And happy birthday, Aquarian. You know who you are, who has a birthday on Friday. Cool day. Anyways, this new moon is offering us an opportunity to break free of our patterns and anything that we feel stuck with. So, as you're sitting down and you're doing, let's say, new moon meditation, intentions, because new moons are great for that. And with this being an air sign, this is a great time to write, to read, to sing, to yell, anything airy, you know, to learn something new, whatever it might be, setting these intentions and doing, you know, writing them down or singing them, belting them out, sharing them with others, right? It's a great time for us to look at the things in our lives where we might be resisting. That area of resistance is often the gateway to the new pattern, the gateway to changing that habit that has kept us stuck. So it's like, why am I resisting this? Now, there could be a good reason. Obviously, you'd want to resist something that might be harmful, but at the same time, if you're not saving lives, more or less, when you're evaluating things, then look at it. Why am I resisting, I don't know, working out? Why am I resisting giving up food of some sort, sugar, whatever, you know, where, so again, playing with all that, what is that resistance there? And then using this Aquarian energy to rebel against it and go, okay, I know I want freedom. I want this unique expression. And how do I do this if I'm going to do the same thing all the time, right? As I mentioned, it is the Chinese New Year as well, the Wood Dragon. Lots of good things are being said about it. I am not a Chinese astrologer, so I'm not going to go into all the details because I would be wrong to do so. But the research I have done is that dragons present themselves as magnificent yet benevolent rulers who are confident, generous, idealistic, and ambitious. And in the Chinese culture, these mythical creatures are in a class of their own. They're regarded as the givers of abundance and longevity. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty damn good to me, you know. The thing about dragon energy as well is that confidence is neither false nor empty. And we talk a lot about being authentic. Dragons are independent thinkers. So they're not going to give away what they're most convicted about or what they feel is their high standard, you know. So if you were born in the year of the dragon, congratulations. And I look forward to hearing how it goes for you this next year as we move into the dragon energy. You know, I mentioned also in my show that this is about relationships as well. And it's not just relationships romantically, it's a relationship to all things, relationship to food, to money, to nature, relationship to my mind. So working with we're going to be, especially with Venus chasing Mars right now, and then they're going to canoodle setting up a new 2-year cycle here, the Venus Mars energy. That'll happen in a couple of weeks. But when these two planets are in the sign of Aquarius, it's one more way that we get to look at our relationships to everything and saying, how do I break free of the old patterns? How do I do things differently than I've done before? There's the beauty of Aquarian energy is that, and Aquarius gets a bad rap. They're not totally cold and heartless. I mean, come on. Yes, it's air sign, and I know a lot of people say Aquarian energy is detached and all of that. And yeah, that can be true. Detached from their emotions, sure. But hell, I think we all can. But really, it's the thing about the air quality of astrology is that it gives us objectivity. So it doesn't let our emotions master our decisions. And I think there's a beautiful balance that gets struck when we're able to take our mind and, like I say, train it, and then use whatever we are perceiving and interpreting, because it's my interpretation, it's my world, I live in it, right? Just like yours. It's your world, you live in it. You get to perceive and interpret how you want. So if I can interpret and master the emotions at the same time, maybe, just maybe, I can make more conscious, better decisions, more loving, more compassionate, that sort of thing. All right, let me get to Pluto in the houses. I did promise you that. And so if you're looking at your chart and you look at your ninth house, if you have Aquarius in your ninth house, then Pluto is now transiting through the ninth house. And this can bring really profound changes in your belief system, your approach to life. It might trigger a period of really intense reflection, self-reflection, and it could push you to question long-held beliefs or cultural conditioning. Because remember, Pluto is the planet of transformation. Again, death and rebirth, the cycles. This can be challenging time where you're looking at new ideologies. Maybe traveling takes you away. I was talking to a girlfriend yesterday, how she'd just gone skiing in Switzerland, and she's like, I forgot. I love how much I love to travel because it just changes my perception. It kind of gives me a reset button. Perfect Pluto in the ninth house kind of example. Might go on a spiritual journey when we're working with Pluto through that ninth house, but our belief systems do transform and change. And there might also be a really deep longing for knowledge or desire and get to your true purpose. Not just what am I doing, but why am I doing this? There's a lot of whys that go on here. And there also, you might. This is where outer circumstances can affect you as well. You might confront your own traumas or wounds, spiritual wounds. So those of you who may have spiritual wounding, like I grew up in with a lot of spiritual wounding, and I've done a lot of healing around it. But Pluto can help to transform that and heal that and give you more authentic connection to your spiritual path. Why that's important? Because we're not just our bodies, we're not just our minds and emotions, we're also spirit. So our belief systems are key to how we behave. 10th house. So now we're moving to that 10th house, Aquarius on the 10th house. This is where it signifies a period where Pluto is going to be transforming and changing the way that you have ambitions. What are your goals? What are your ambitions? What's the legacy that you're trying to leave behind? Maybe it's something new and different. You know, tired of the same old boring thing. You might challenge some authority figures, or they could challenge you. This transit also could have some power struggles or challenges when it comes to a complete career transformation. That doesn't always mean bad. You know, we use words like upheaval or transformation or death and rebirth, you know, things like that. But this is a time where you get to reinvent yourself on a very deep, deep level of how others perceive you. What's your reputation, you know, or what kind of work are you doing in the world? If you're tired and you're feeling unfulfilled with the work itself, or you know, I could see a lot of people with the Aquarius on the 10th house and Pluto here striking out and doing their own thing, breaking free of corporate world and or the oppressive nature, and starting their own company, their own business based on everything they've learned and doing it very differently, that because they've had the bad experience, now they want to create a good experience for themselves and others, you know. So just pay attention to that. In the 11th house, with Pluto's transiting your 11th house, it could bring some big changes to your social circle, the groups you're associated with. friendships could be tested or power dynamics within social groups can come to surface. The transit often pushes individuals here to reevaluate your connections and really look at the authenticity of your friendships, you know? So if it's like, you know, this just doesn't seem like it's bringing out the best in me, and it's time for me to change groups. Maybe it's time for me to find some new friends. You know, a lot of personal growth and self-empowerment can happen through your social connections because remember, we're relating to something all the time. I mean, you know, I like that phrase, if you didn't reflect me, how would I know I existed? Right. So Pluto in this 11th house is going to say, okay, I exist and I have meaning and I have purpose because of the people I'm associated with. And you know, they say that guilt by association, right? If you're Pluto in this 11th house is going to have you questioning, who am I associating with? Because this is also how I'm being perceived by others. I would say too that some of you may experience, remember this is generalized, but some of you may experience a real shift when it comes to the way in which you relate to different groups and friendships, that sort of thing. You may have some pretty unusual groups that you're like, maybe in the past you're like, I'd never belong to them, where suddenly you'll have the opportunity in the next few years to join a group or create a group that you may have thought you never would. I always say, don't ever say never and always. Because, you know, I said I'd never live in South Carolina again. And sure enough, for 5 years, I had moved back home. Anyways, yeah, never say never. Okay, 12th house. Now, one thing I want to say, those of you who are familiar with astrology, every time you get to the 12th house, people cringe because it's the house of imprisonment. Yeah, that's one piece of it. But it's not necessarily prison itself. It has more to do with the constrictions of things we don't know that need to be released because it's in that 12th house where we have a con the confluence of everything coming together from all the other houses. It's the house of unification. It's the house that says, in order for me to be self-actualized, I have to release and let go of all the stuff that I have accumulated over my experiences, my years, and all of that. I get to take on some stuff of, you know, when I say confluence, it's the subconscious plus the conscious mind coming together. It's all the things we don't know, right? And it's the things we don't know that often imprison us. That's where I'm going with that. So anyway, so with Pluto here, this could be a time where you're confronted with shadows, you're forced to face your fears head on. There's an opportunity for really profound transformation and letting go of old patterns, beliefs. There's deep, deep healing that can take place here. There's a spiritual journey that can often show up here. I will tell you that when I had Pluto transiting my 12th house, it was transformational. I mean, I went from religious upbringing to breaking free of that and kind of doing a quasi Jewish Christian home life. And then I discovered things like Abraham Hicks, and I was working with a spiritual teacher, and you know, all these sort of, and I kicked off my business, my intuitive business, joined One to Listen, and then you know, and then Pluto was transiting through my first house. Anyways, I'm just saying, when it came to the 12th house, I remember very marked periods of I'll say my worst fears showing up in my mind, right? Not necessarily externally, but it would trigger these things that I would have to face in order for me to break free of those old patternings. So all I can tell you is please don't be afraid of Pluto. You know, a lot of people are like, oh my God, I have to, you know, I'm going to be forced to change something. Well, you can look at it this way. Change is going to happen whether we like it or not, just like progress. You know, you can either embrace AI or you can fight it and it's going to take over anyways. And I say take over tongue in cheek. But, you know, it's here to stay. It's not going to go away. Drones are here to stay. It's not going away. You know, so we have to learn how to be responsible with it and work with whatever is here on a technology or progressive level or scientific level, whatever. And this is all about the evolution of the human soul, the evolution of us as human beings, right? And so instead of cursing this change, because most people, if it's change we want, then yay, we embrace it. If it's not change we want, then we tend to get insecure, fearful, resistant, whatever. And so what I will say is, please try and stay as open. That doesn't mean you have to compromise your values or your standards, but stay as open as possible where everything is welcome as a teacher, right? What is this teaching me? What is this showing me about myself? And then how can I use this as an opportunity to be a greater service to others? You know, one of the things that happened for me years ago, and it was right before I left Virginia, was that I invoked and met one of the goddesses who I absolutely love, and Hecate. I'll tell that story another time because there's not enough time today. And so Hecate and I have had a wonderful relationship for many years. But the thing that she said to me in that meditation was, choose your path, because Hecate is the three-faced goddess, you know, and she stands at the crossroads and says, which direction you want to go? And I said to her, I want to be in the path of service. I'm on the path of service, whatever that means. And so I have to remind myself of that, especially when my ego takes over and I think I'm either bigger and better than, you know, I thought, or I get too wrapped up in my own world and fears and insecurities and whatnot, or my cockiness can kick in, you know, whatever it might be. And I have to remember, how is this serving? How am I able to be of service when I'm in that ego place, you know? And so coming back to that. And so that's the offering for today to ponder, think about, especially as we move into this new moon on Friday, like I mentioned, the 9th. How can we be of greater service, not only to others, but to ourselves as well? Because the one thing I don't want to do is negate the fact that you matter. You as an individual matter. Just like I was reading at the beginning about loving kindness. And the first element of true love is loving kindness. And we want more love. We want to be seen. We want intimacy. We want all of that. But are we being loving kind to ourselves as well? Because remember, at the end, it says, learn how to practice mindfulness the way you can create moments of happiness and joy for your own nourishment. Then you have something to offer the other person. So, like I say, I do not want to negate the fact that we need to give to ourselves as much as we give to others. And there's this harmonious aspect. I don't like the word balance as much as I like harmony, because balance is relative. I mean, to me, balance is like a seesaw. It's either or, black or white, up or down, whatever, you know? Whereas with harmony, sometimes it's 60-40, sometimes it's 80-20, you know? And you know, for me, I love talking with you. I love doing the intuitive work, and I love doing the group work and coaching and all of that teaching. I love that so much. And so I probably spend 80% of my days working, but I also have that 20% where I really love being around my partner. I love my kids. They're here. I love skiing, and I love my friends. So I do tend to spend at least 20 to 30% of my life now with that social aspect. And so that's where harmony comes in for me. So anyway, so just a reminder, as we're coming to a close, there's 1 minute left here of the show, is we've got this new moon in Aquarius. It's going to set us up for a next 6 month cycle till our full moon, which will be in Leo in August. And so we're going to be looking at ways in which we can find greater service, greater acts of service, greater benefits to humanity, to each other. Because I can tell you right now, this is the only way we're all going to get off this planet, you know, in a conscious, loving way, is we got to do it together. We got to build community, and we got to lean in and lift each other up. All right, you guys. My time is done here. Please stay tuned for all the other wonderful shows here at 1-2 Radio. Catch an archive, a replay, and come see me at 1-2listen.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back next week with my daughter, Tatiana. Take care, everybody.